Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest at Surfaces 2011 is Chris Davis. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice to see you, Kemp.
Good to see you. I believe it's been about a year. I was shocked to see you because you've lost some weight since the last time I saw you. I had to take a double take. How many pounds have you lost?
About 95.
95 pounds. And you're not sick, are you?
Oh, no. No, not at all. I mean, it was deliberate. I thought I might like to live for a couple more years. Plus, my board told me to get faster.
Okay. Well, you do look good. You definitely look good. And actually, I think the edges of your lips are pointed up a little bit. You're smiling some. So I guess life's going well for you right now?
I can't complain. Plus, I just ran into a couple people I used to date. And that was fun.
Well, so let's talk about the WFCA, obviously the advocate, the voice of the independent retailer. Let's talk about the retailer and this kind of the state of flooring retailing, especially now as, you know, this onward third year of this recession and continuing on into this year. Is there been much that's changed with the retailer? Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's actually been a tough 4 years, you know. The thing that has been unique about this particular recession is this is really the first time. Usually what happens in the flooring industry is if the residential replacement business is down, the commercial business picks up, or the builder business picks up, or something usually offsets the other so that you're not completely dependent upon one type of business for your livelihood. This is the first time all three of them have been, you know, suffering. It's very different and unusual. And then, of course, there's the credit crunch and all kinds of things that have been associated with that. But so it's been difficult. It's been a very difficult time, and customers are getting savvier. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if two-thirds or more of the gross national product is based on consumer spending and the consumer stops spending, you know, we're all in trouble. And we have been. So the good thing that's come out of it, I mean, you can sit here and, you know, curse the darkness or you can light a candle. The good thing that's come out of it is that it's forced people to be better at what they've been doing to try and figure out ways, at least from a retailer perspective, that they can deliver the product with less expenses that don't impact their customer. That's been the real challenge, but it forces you to pay much more close attention to your bottom line and how you go about doing things, and not as wasteful as you might have been when things were great and the customer was coming into the store en masse. So it's different.
Let me ask you, you know, the federal government tracks the number of independent flooring retailers through some kind of report, but it's always really late by the time we get the data. I mean, it's a year or two old. Do you feel like that there's been a decline? I mean, I think the last time we saw a read, there was 14,000 independent flooring retailers, you know, brick and mortar, specialty flooring retailers. Do you think there's been a pretty big drop in that number?
I would have anticipated it to be larger than anecdotal evidence is that it has been. And one of the reasons it's always been so difficult to nail down exactly how many people are selling floor covering is because you've got lumber yards selling them, you've got interior designers, you've got furniture stores, all kinds of outlets that can sell flooring that don't just sell flooring. And you might look at somebody like a Home Depot or a Lowe's and say, well, you know, in terms of their mix, they're certainly not predominantly flooring. But then you look at the volume they're selling, and it's huge. So it's always been a little difficult trying to exactly pin down who's selling floor covering and how many are doing it. But it's less. There's no question about that. But I would venture to say, just, you know, from a educated guess, that it's more like down 10% than 20%. And what we're really seeing is that floor covering dealers are remarkably resilient. And in many cases, they may not be selling anything, but they're still in business. And there's a lot of small businesses that are just, you know, they're not going out and buying new products to stock the store, but they're still there waiting for the phone to ring.
So some are just hanging on, but then some are doing real well. And is there a recipe there? Those that are doing real well, why are they doing real well?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing that we try and tell everybody that's in this business is, you know, pay very close attention to what you're doing and really keep an eye on the bottom line. We do this market report, the financial management report, that basically shows you what the benchmarks are, and not only what the benchmarks are, but that just small incremental changes can have a great impact on your bottom line. And if you pay close attention to watching your costs, and negotiating a little better than you had before. And, you know, customers are coming in now, and they'll see a price tag, and they'll just look at it, and they'll go, I'll pay half for that. And, you know, you got to make up your mind, well, you know, am I going to loss leader this thing? Am I going to sell it? If your customers are doing that, you better be doing that with your suppliers as well, because everybody's doing it. And there's no such thing anymore as this is a fixed price. So no matter what it is, and I'm talking everything from energy to, you know, whatever, anything that, that you might have to operate your business. So those that are surviving are still promoting. They're trying to cut the expenses, anything that does not impact their customer. And they're still out there advertising and promoting their product and getting themselves in the marketplace because they realize now is the time to take business away from somebody else. That's why they're successful.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's some business out there, and you just have to go get it. Let's talk about the WFCA. You have a pretty illustrious board. Most of your board's made up of specialty retailers. What are some of the challenges that they've got you working on this year?
Well, I think one of the things as an association, we've been trying to reposition ourselves. And fortunately, because we make most of our income off of investments, not off of membership, it allows us, even in these downtimes, and if, you know, just as everyone else has suffered, you know, when you have a dealer who calls you up and says, look, I have a choice to keep my lights on or pay your dues this year. I really like what you guys are doing, but I really need to keep my store open so that I can be a member. And, you know, when you hear that, you know, you understand that that's just the way it is.
Well, let me interrupt real quick. Your dues aren't but about $200, though,
yeah,
or something.
$275 a year, which for a retail association of our scope and the kinds of things that we offer is extremely low. But that be that as it may, it's still a cost. And if you're looking at every cost, you got to look at that one, too. Even though, as if you belong, we'll turn around and give you $500 in scholarship money to go out and get training on just about anything. So, you know, that's been a challenge. But one of the things that we're trying to do is reposition the organization to we're making a much greater effort to work with other associations in the flooring field to try and do things that are going to better the whole industry. That will help retail, certainly, but will also help manufacturers, distributors, suppliers to the trade, everybody in the chain. That's what we're going to be trying to do, is to try and reposition ourselves to work more in that. We're doing a project right now, for example, with CRI that is we're paying half and they're paying the other half of this ANSI standard development for carpet installation. And, you know, the end result of that down the road is going to be tremendous for the floor covering industry. And that's the kind of thing we're trying to figure out, ways to work with each other that'll benefit the entire industry, just not one small segment.
Actually, you're rewriting the installation guidelines that used to be called the CRI 104-105, right?
But CRI 104 and 105 were never standards. They were, I mean, even said on the, you know, these are not to be construed as standards. We're trying to develop standards, much like the tile industry has in their floor covering sector, where everybody knows what's expected, everybody knows what has to be done, and there's no deviation from that.
And you've got the IICRC involved in that, right?
IICRC is actually a ANSI standard developer. We needed an ANSI standard developer to do this. They have some expertise in certification, obviously, and we thought that was a good fit, and so far it's been much smoother than we would have ever anticipated. These are normally people that can't agree on what to order for lunch. And when you put retailers and contractors and installers and manufacturers in the same room, there's usually been a difference of opinion about a lot. And the fact that everybody seems to recognize that there's a bigger problem here and we need to resolve it as a group, and that's the only way it's going to get resolved, is really very refreshing.
And when are you going to get that done?
It looks like it may take another 6 months to a year to finish. It was always a three-year project. And the good and bad thing about ANSI is that the procedure is such where you absolutely always have to have consensus. And because you always have to have consensus, every time somebody departs, You got to reel them back in, or at least make the amendments to the agreement that you're putting together that they can buy into. And there's a procedure at the end where it has to go out for public comment, and then that has to be resolved. And so it takes a long, long time to build that consensus, but that's just the way it works.
All right, let's quick, before we run out of time, this is on the third day of this show, and you're back here in this lounge area, which you've had for many years, but this is at a new place, the Mandalay Bay. Talk real quickly about how you think the show went this year.
I've talked, you know, my judgment on these shows is never how many people comes through the door, but how many people go to your booth and whether or not you met your objectives. And the exhibitors I've talked to are ecstatic. I mean, I they're all pleasantly surprised at, A, the amount of business they've been doing and the quality of the people they've been talking to, which astounds me as well, because I was expecting it to be slightly less than that. And yet, everybody, and I said, well, did you come with low expectations? And they said, no, you know, this is better than last year and the year before. So that's great. I mean, I'm just ecstatic about that, because, I mean, it was very busy here the first 2 days. You know, it's always sort of slow on the last day. Everybody used to recommend to me when I was running the show that we cut off that last day. And I'd tell them, yeah, if we do that, there won't be a last day. You know, there won't be a first day. But, you know, I think it's surprisingly good. I love the venue. I think it's a much nicer facility than the one that we had. It's easier to get in and get out of from an exhibitor's point of view. And if it draws the bodies, great. I think everybody's a little lost trying to find the restrooms and everything, but, you know, that comes with familiarity. And well, next year they'll be a little better. They'll know where some of those meeting rooms are and everything.
Okay, Chris, I appreciate you spending time with us. Again, been talking to Chris Davis, President and CEO of the WFCA, or the World Floor Covering Association. It surfaces 2011, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.